And welcome back to Archbishop's Hour. You're listening to us at 103.1 FM in Santa Rosa, 94.1 in Shiprock, and 88.5 in Roswell. Did we say 88.3 in Tucumcari? Well, now we're saying it. I want to welcome Sister Joan Brown, Third Order Franciscan, to the show today. We also know her as the Executive Director of New Mexico Interfaith Power and Light, an incredible organization, also affiliated with a national organization, but they're up to date on anything and everything that has to do with protecting our planet, caring for our common home, as Pope Francis has labeled it in Laudato Si. And there's so much coming up. Of course, as soon as Easter has been, you know, we've launched into the Easter season, and then we remember that Earth Day, is it the 21st or the 22nd? All right. April 22nd is Earth Day, and many things are coming up that have to do with, you know, care for our creation. But, okay, let's start from the very beginning. Isn't that a wonderful song? The Week of Faith Climate Action. That's the first thing we need to hear about that Sister is an expert on. Welcome, Sister Joan. What's going on? And when is the Week of Faith Climate Action?
Well, first of all, Mary, it's very good to be with you and with everybody who's listening out there. And blessings of this very holy week and this holy time of year, where all kinds of new things are happening, and we're called even more deeply, I think, by our commitment to care for creation and address climate change, which is what Interfaith Power and Light does. So the Week of Faith and Climate Action is happening around Earth Day. It's April 14th through April 25th, but working with the National Interfaith Power and Light, we're just encouraging people to do whatever they can. It can be a homily, a sermon, an educational event, a film, and we have some advocacy actions anytime during April or May. And there's ways that they can sign up at the National Interfaith Power and Light website and get New Mexico on the calendar. There are some events already there. And this really is an effort to one time of year around Earth Day for people of faith to all together throughout the whole country join together and have prayers for and actions for our creation that God has given us. And so that's really what the week is about. It also coincides with Earth Day, the 22nd of April, which is when the UN accord that was approved in Paris at COP21, the Conference of Parties in December, will be signed at the UN in New York. And so that's going to be an amazing event during that week also.
So we might mention for those maybe who missed one of our previous conversations, you were Franciscan International kind of delegate representative at COP21 that was extraordinary. You were in Paris for the whole the climate summit, and it how amazing to have somebody, I mean, who was there on the ground to see what was going on and what's more, to understand it.
Yeah, you know, and it was incredible. I feel very graced to have been there with Franciscans International as an official, you know, observer. But I entered into some negotiations pushing for some things for human rights, for caring for our brothers and sisters, for funding for adaptation mitigation, for loss and damage, some of those things that may sound kind of foreign to our listeners but are really relevant to us, even at a local level. And I might just say that people are really interested in this, and they're interested in knowing that there were lots of faith organizations that were at Paris. This was the first time we were told that the ethical moral imperative of climate change was front and center before the delegates. The first time in all 21 meetings that they've had. So I've been doing a lot of presentations, I have to say, not just in New Mexico, but in other areas as well for faith groups. And during this week of faith and climate action, actually, I feel privileged. I'm going to be heading up to Taos. And there's one of those events up in Taos, and it's going to be Thursday, April 21st, and it's an interfaith event, and there's two parts to it. One is good news from COP21 Paris, And that starts at 5 o'clock in the evening. And then after that is a panel discussion with myself and some other folks about how then shall we live in light of this call. And that's all going to be at the El Pueblito Methodist Church. But you can always, for any of this information we're talking about, Mary, because there's going to be a lot of it, people can always just email me at joan@nm-ipl.org or just go to our Interfaith Power and Light website in New Mexico.
This is quite thrilling. I'd like to, there are a couple of things I wanted to bring up and explore just for a little bit, because we have so much to talk about. But first of all, these events, April 21st and 22nd, no, I'm fibbing, April 21st, and then there's a six-week series that starts April 28th. All of that is in Taos. Mm-hmm. So if you're heading up north there, you know somebody up north. I don't know that we get any coverage up there right now with Catholic Radio, but definitely we'll spread the word. How then shall we live? That event on April 21st. Come be inspired by four different perspectives, Diné, Franciscan, Mennonite, and interspiritual, exploring the question, how shall we live led by the Spirit during these unprecedented times of economic and environmental upheaval? That's going to be 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, April 21st in Taos at, again, as Sister said, El Pueblito Methodist Church, home of the Shared Table. And if you need more information, you can also go to nm-ipl.org. That's Sisters New Mexico Interfaith Power and Light. But what an extraordinary group of people to get together. It's ecumenical because care for God's creation is not just the job of all Catholics or all Christians. It is an imperative for all people who live on the planet.
It is. And, you know, I have to say, Mary, Laudato Si again has just been a wonderful gift to us, because the Pope wrote that document, and he said this is for all people of the world, because we are all living in part of our common home. And so a lot of people who are not Catholic are very excited about Laudato Si, want to continue to hear about Laudato Si. And so I have been, you know, doing a number of presentations for really people of all faith traditions. And the kind of program that they're having in Taos, anywhere, anybody could have anywhere. And IPL, we would be glad to help you with getting something together if you have the people to do it. Another area that has something every single month that I wanted to note was Gallup. Gallup, for the last 2 years, and it's usually like the last Thursday of the month, have been doing what they call an Earth Sabbath, which is coming together interfaith-wise. It's Sister Rosemary Caccini, who is with the Office of Life, Justice, Peace, and Integrity of Creation, helps with this prayer. But she works with some Methodists and Presbyterians. I think some Baha'is often come, some Buddhists. And they pray for the needs of the earth and the people on the earth and the community. And they have a different theme. And so this Thursday is their next one, this Thursday, March 31st, and it's always from 7 to 8:15. And the theme this week is Celtic Springtime, Awakening to New Life. So they're taking some Celtic spirituality, inspiration from some of those Celtic prayers and tradition. And then they'll also be doing one April 28th. And it's a wonderful gathering. It's in someone's home, who's graciously opened it up. But if you want more information about that, again, you can just contact me at info@nm-ipl.org. Or we'll try to have it on our calendar on our website, too. But sometimes I just don't get everything up there, Mary.
Well, now, I'm fascinated by so many things. When you were talking about the COP21, which was the 21st Conference of Parties, that means it was the 21st gathering, of how many countries represented most
195.
Recently? 195 countries around the world represented at this Climate Summit, that the conversation included human rights and care for the environment, ethical and moral imperative. Could you talk for just a moment? I know there are many people who think they separate in their minds the good and well-being of humanity, and they're very compassionate. They want to take care of people who are in poverty or people who are suffering depredations of, you know, violence in their countries and things like that, and very kind. But they see that as a very separate issue from, you know, recycling is, you know, that's a goofy hippie thing. You know, come on, we're not going to live in yurts or, you know, do these wacky things and have goats in our backyard. How is care for the environment really a factor in human rights around the world? And why is it an ethical and moral imperative that has to do with the good of humanity as well as the care of the ecology of our world?
Right. And, you know, I have to say, Mary, that is one of the hardest elements to try to help us to understand, because our culture shows us to live separated from God's creation. And yet Laudato Si, on care of our common home, that's precisely what Pope Francis is doing in there. He's talking about integral ecology, which takes in the sociology of the human. He's talking about the economics, the resources of the planet. He's talking about our call to care for the gift of creation and for the human family. So it's all there. And at the Conference of Parties, it was very present because there were a lot of people of faith there, faith leaders, and Cardinal Turkson, who was one of the writers of Laudato Si from the Vatican, was there as well. And he gave a press conference that people were just really very grateful for. And he basically said in that press conference, this is everybody's home, and we're all brothers and sisters, and we must take care of this home, and we must take care of each other. So it all does come together, and that's part of the task, I think, of faith communities that we're working on throughout the United States and in New Mexico, to help people make those connections, that it's not separate. We cannot live without water, without air, without food, with this,
as the people in Detroit know so well.
Yes, and these are justice issues, and they are human rights issues, and they are moral issues, spiritual issues, ethical issues, and so that's one of the reasons too why we're doing this focus every year that we have with Interfaith Power and Light, and why we're doing this week of faith for climate action. You know, one of the actions, I might just bring up an advocacy action that we're asking faith communities, individuals to do this year, and that the Catholic Climate Covenant has worked on with Interfaith Power and Light and some other groups, is the Green Climate Fund. And that is a small fund of money, and it was approved in 2015 in the budget, and it's money for adaptation mitigation.
No, the Green Climate Fund, I might add, it's advocated by Catholic Climate Covenant and IPL, New Mexico, but this is a federal, U.S. government program. If you could kind of fill in how that works.
Right. What it is it's really money for our brothers and sisters who are affected most by climate change. And so that money goes for early warning systems, like if there is a tsunami that's coming. And actually, I have to say, I was just at an Oxfam meeting. I'm one of the Oxfam.
Could you explain to folks what Oxfam is?
Yeah, Oxfam is an international group that works a lot on food and also on climate issues. And they have a special, element for women, because women are affected most by climate change, and yet they are the ones whose voices are not at the negotiating tables mostly. They don't have a say where money goes. They're the ones taking care of the families, the children, in a lot of these increased quote, disasters that we're having. So like, say, the money from a Green Climate Fund could help with early warning systems. So I experienced firsthand a woman from the Philippines talking how they had organized at their little local level, and they had saved thousands of lives because they had in place how, where people were to go if an enormous storm came, which one did, and they knew where to go. They knew how to contact the family members.
They created a strategic plan for themselves.
Exactly. And that's what some of this is about. And in this advocacy ask that we're doing with Interfaith Power and Light for that week, it's only $750 million. And that's not very much. $750 million out of our entire U.S. budget for this Green Climate Fund, which is really for human rights, dignity of the human family, specifically around climate change and our brothers and sisters that are suffering most.
So what you can do, a livable climate for all of us, what our listeners can do, if they're so moved, is they can send a notice to the U.S. Senate to urge the Senate to support the president's budget request of $750 million. It's just a drop in the bucket, given the entire budget. So that will go to the Green Climate Fund. And again, the Green Climate Fund was set up to allow advanced nations like the U.S. to support developing countries to build climate resilience and transition to renewable energy technologies. It has a history of bipartisan support in Congress, and we want to do our part again this year. You can get more information on that from interfaithpowerandlight.org. That's the national organization, and they'll give you a way to contact your senator and say, let's make sure that we do this.
Right. And if any of our listeners in their congregation want to sign up to do something, like to have an educational event or even just to have some of these postcards to have people to sign during this week of Action for Faith and Climate, they can just go to the website of the National and sign up, and they can download these that then they can sign and have their family sign or their communities or whoever. And if they'd like to get them to me, they can. And I would personally deliver them to our senators, because I'm going to be in Washington the first part of May again. We have an annual Interfaith Power and Light meeting there, and we always visit our legislative offices with an ask. And this is one of the asks that we're going to be talking about, is this Green Climate Fund, because it is generally supported by all of the faith traditions, and was one of the elements that the faith people of faith of different denominations were actually trying to promote at the at COP21, at the climate action meeting in Paris in December. So it's not partisan. It's not. It shouldn't be controversial. It's really caring for our brothers and sisters.
And it's being prepared. It's, you know, it's being prepared for things. If they're putting having funds available to help people transition to renewable energy technologies, but also to be prepared in advance of a climate devastating catastrophes that, let's face it, this is not something new. These are things that happen often, typhoons and earthquakes and that sort of thing. They all are, you know, have a big effect. But to be prepared, that's not too much to ask. That's intelligent. Saves lives in the long run. And anyway, good plan. Tell me about Climate Justice Week and youth and scholarships.
Oh, right.
This is wild. There's so many things going on.
I know. This I wanted to make sure everybody knows about, because every week at Ghost Ranch, and we collaborate with Ghost Ranch, and they're a wonderful retreat center in the northwest part of, it's up by Abiquiu, and most people know about it. They have an Earth-Honoring Faith Week that Larry Rasmussen, who is a wonderful ethicist and author, and he's on our advisory board. He's been doing this for the last 9 years. And so they have an adult section, and it's called Earth Honoring Faith. This year, it's on climate justice. And we are having simultaneously for senior high level a senior high Earth Initiative Climate Justice. So what we're going to do, and it's June 19th through 25th, and we have scholarships available for senior high. And our goal is to have them be part of this and then take something back to their faith communities. So it's kind of a leadership. So they will share in the mornings of that week with the adults for the presenters in the morning. And then we're going to do fun things and interesting things and challenging things in the afternoons and late morning. And into the evenings, they'll be hiking and probably kayaking. And we're going to be doing some very intentional reflection on our role of living in God's creation, how to listen more clearly, what climate justice means. We'll have some kind of a, during the week, several outings to different places to learn more about climate justice and how that's connected to our faith. And I'm helping with this as well as Todd Winward, who is a Mennonite, and he is up in Taos, and he's on our board, and he has worked with wilderness outdoor experiences with young people. So he's great. And then Eileen Shaughnessy, who is a lovely young professor at the University of New Mexico in the Sustainability Studies program. And she's deeply faithful woman. Oh, my goodness, she's just lovely. So she's helping with this as well. She's also a musician. So it's going to be a great week, and it is limited to 20 to 25 young people, senior high age. And so, again, you can find information on our website, or you can contact me at Joan at nm-ipl.org. So, yeah, so that's coming up in the summer, and that's June 19th through 25th, and we do have scholarships. Also, anybody who is a friend or a member of Interfaith Power and Light, either for the adult workshop, which is going to be great, or the youth, will get a 15% discount at Ghost Ranch.
Wow. So that week, Climate Justice Week, is going to be June 19th through the 25th. And a beautiful, beautiful part of the world to be in at Ghost Ranch up by Abiquiu. We've a whole variety of topics here today. I hope you'll mention the webinar Tuesday, April 5th.
Yes.
But then we want to come back to something that you can find, in fact, letters to the editor today in the paper about methane rules. But let's start with the webinar, Tuesday, April 5th.
Yes, and this is something that's coming up quickly, and I'm going to be sending out information to our members this afternoon, but I can send you the link for this. It's a webinar that we're partnering with California Interfaith Power and Light on a new way of financing solar within congregations for your house of worship or your schools. And it is with a organization called Collective Sun. It uses power of purchase agreement, but it does it in such a way that the faith community is able to take advantage of, in the installation of the solar and figuring out the finances, the tax credits. They're the only organization in the country that works with nonprofits and faith communities on this. So that webinar is Tuesday, April 5th, from 12 to 1 New Mexico time. I can send you the link for that, where you can sign up, because you have to sign up for it ahead of time, etc., and they'll give you...
It doesn't cost anything.
Oh,
you
it's
just
totally
kind
free.
Of,
totally
it's,
free.
It's kind of like you register your little mini account the way people do on internet sites.
Exactly.
And then you can join in. Right?
And then you just join in. And it's very easy and very simple, but it's a great opportunity that I'm just really glad that we can be part of. And so I want our faith communities that are interested to take advantage of that. And also schools, church schools, parochial schools, if they were interested in this. And the power purchase means that you don't pay any money up front. But in the end, you do have the possibility, if you choose, of owning those solar panels on your buildings. So it's they'll explain it all in this webinar. It's just another opportunity that I've come across. I just wanted to share with people. And these are kind of the resources that Interfaith Power and Light has. We do a lot of educational things. We try to help faith communities with these kind of resources to try to figure out how to do energy efficiency and solar within their budgets, which are limited. And also food. We have right now a new cool harvest set where you can get seeds and all kinds of things going on and educational materials if you're really interested in the whole gardening and food production and that relationship to faith as well. So these are some of the resources that we offer.
You know, this is an amazing invitation. The more we talk about ecology and care for our common home, as Pope Francis put it, the more things become clear, because I know for Catholics, maybe old school Catholics, this whole idea of, you know, some kind of climate response and that sort of thing also has seemed very vague, because old school, we were used to being told, here is the topic, here is the thing, and here are the, you know, delineated, here are the things that you're supposed to do. And we would wait for a leader to tell us these things. And then we would, not that we couldn't think for ourselves, but we would follow. What is called for here is a dramatic change in how we behave. We take responsibility. We're urged to take responsibility for who we are and how we live ethically, morally, and in light of our love of Christ on this earth with all other people. And we're asked to act on our own as well as in communities, mm-hmm. but not to wait for, you know, the big kahuna at the top to say, no, we will do this. We're actually invited to be independent and take up the cause on our own. Young people understand this and are behaving this way. It's older people who are, maybe we're a little slow on the uptake, and yet we're asked to organize in our parishes to go ahead and make sure that recycling is being done, to go ahead and say, hey, now's the time to have that a parish garden, a community garden of some sort, to raise food, to share. We're being asked to do things independently on our own and then build grassroots community. Right. And it can be very confusing to persons who keep waiting for, you know, some call from the top, some you know, some fearless leader to tell us what to do. We're asked to do things now on our own,
right,
to take the responsibility ourselves.
And sometimes, Mary, when it takes a group of people or a small group of people, even four people, to say, oh, we're going to do this, and then to say, this is important.
And sometimes, just do it.
and just do it. And then sometimes the leadership in the parish and in our faith communities, they're excited. I mean, they don't have to do it. It's a good thing you know has to be done, but it's way down on the priority list for sure. And so you're absolutely right. And Interfaith Power and Light, we even have a kind of guideline if you ever want to, if any congregation wants to set up like a green team, some congregations call them green teams, they call them earth care creation teams or care of creation committee, or there's lots of different names, but to even formalize it, if a group wants to do that, we have some guidelines that can help with that. But, you know, I have to say, some of this is new and some of it isn't. I grew up in a rural Kansas on a farm, and some of this caring for the creation we just did and we knew, and it was connected to our faith. And it was integrated within praying for rain, the blessing of the fields, the preserving of the water, the, you know, all of those ways that we lived and knew it was the right thing to do. And that's how we had to live.
So this was something integral to the lives of people every day and their community. And that's what we need to make contact with. It's not. Yeah, think of people. It's not a new hippy dippy, which is also an old faded term. It's not some new crazy thing to do. It's actually, it's common sense,
and it's part of our spiritual journey.
And
it's part of what I call my spiritual practice. And St. Francis of Assisi and Clare of Assisi are two very, very old models and, you know, within this. And it's all through Scripture. And I think our eyes just need to be opened anew. And what better time now than in the Eastertide?
And we shouldn't individually or collectively be waiting for permission anymore or for somebody to give us, you know, the plan. It's time to understand, to formulate our own plans and to be part of this. It's a movement that is global because it has to be.
It has to be. Our brothers and sisters are suffering throughout the planet already. And if we say that we love one another, this is part of loving one another.
Absolutely. Something we're cruising into just the last 4 or 5 minutes of the program. But I did want to touch on this topic of BLM, Bureau of Land Management, methane reduction rules. There, in fact, in today's Albuquerque Journal, there are a couple of letters to the editor on this topic. What can you tell me about this topic and how does this relate to faith leaders in our community?
What is happening is our oil and gas industry, there's a lot of pollution that happens with oil and gas wells, and it's from flaring and venting and leaking, and that's called methane pollution. And that methane pollution is a large contributor in the short term to global climate change. But in addition to that, it really is not good for the people's health who are around those, like in the northwest region of our state. That means a lot of our Native American brothers and sisters. And the other thing is, it's a waste of God's resources because it's just, you know, spewed into the air. And that's our common good.
That recently, relatively recently, there are various new approaches to capturing that methane, what might have been just kind of burned off into the atmosphere. It's a methane byproduct that actually has been captured to use as a power source. And this is very new and innovative, but it's real and it is happening.
It is.
It's happening up in Colorado.
Colorado and Wyoming. And some of those states, some of our neighboring states like Colorado and Wyoming, have stronger guidelines on this than we do here in New Mexico. And companies are making money because they're capturing this methane and then it can be used for energy. And it also means for us in a state where we have a lot of our income at this point in our federal budget comes from oil and gas industry, it means that we have this money for the common good. Over the last 6 years, we have probably not had access, because this venting and the flaring, the methane was wasted, about $50 million has not come for the common good in our state.
Basically, if a company figures a way,
already out there.
Yeah, to capture methane that would otherwise be just kind of a byproduct let off into the air. When they capture it, they are using it as a power source and would, one assumes, get a revenue from that. And from that revenue, they would then have to pay royalties back to the state of New Mexico when this is captured. When it's just vented out into the winds, not only is it a health problem for many of us, but there no royalties are being captured on this.
And we're called in our faith tradition to be stewards of God's creation and the resources we have. And this is not good stewardship. And that's where the faith communities have gotten involved in this nationally and then here. And actually, Interfaith Power and Light has been getting some faith leaders to sign a letter in support of having guidelines, you know, ways that it's required for companies to capture this, which is not even it's not a waste. It's a resource.
In 60 seconds, can you tell me what the BLM methane reduction rules are and how they would, what is the important element we need to know here about?
The important element is
laws.
That basically it would ask industry to put on various mechanical measures in order to capture the methane instead of it being released. And in some cases, there would need to be pipes that would have to be, you know, extended or built to capturing
some
place.
Some kind of a reservoir.
Where they can send it on down the line for use. So it's basically laid out that, and as you were saying, there's already the mechanisms to do this, the mechanical mechanisms, and that in itself is a job producer.
The job, the technology already exists.
And it's being used in other states.
Are there people rejecting this or resisting this?
Well, there is some resistance to it, and they say it might be too costly, but actually they'll be making money in the long run. And again, I have to say it's the right thing to do. It's the ethical, moral thing to do. And also, some of our neighboring states like Colorado are doing this already, much more than we are. And they have not lost money, and they are seeing that, yes, this is helpful for industry.
And anything that creates jobs, you know, that's music to my ears. Our time is up. I want to thank you so much, Sister Joan Brown. She is the executive director of New Mexico Interfaith Power and Light. You can find out more at nm-ipl.org. Oh, my goodness. And look up this stuff on the BLM methane reduction rules. That may be your first project for anybody listening to learn more about that in advance of Earth Day. These events, and also care for our common home. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mary, and all listeners out there. Blessings to you this day.
And thanks for listening to Archbishop's Hour Catholic Radio.